Tonight the orange and blue
wine and gold deliver.
Hard work in town, hard work in tea.
Man, we've been waiting a long time. If we can work our way through these games against the Golden State Warriors Cavaliers in the NBA Finals, only for the second time in their career. Their history, I guess, is the best way to put it. Joining us to talk about Cavs tonight, and he's been covering them all season, seeing the transition, what's been going on with the Cavs, Rick Noland, who reports for the Chronicle-Telegram, also the Medina Gazette, joins us this morning. It's going to be a long day for you, Rick, that's for sure, uh-huh?
Yeah, but these kind of days don't come around too often, so you got to enjoy them while they're here.
Absolutely. You have to take it in, see what's going to happen. Bit of a layoff somewhat between the Eastern Conference Finals to now, so everybody's had a chance to dissect everything and go through so many things. I want to play a little clip of something you had to say to our Tim Alcorn and Scott Zarrilla during one of the Countdown at the Q shows. This was, this is from a couple of months ago. This was actually end of the season, like right at the middle part of April. You said,
you know, it's a team that I think is positioned and poised to make a very deep run in the playoffs.
Are they a championship team?
I think they're an NBA Finals team. That's as far as I'm willing to go right now.
Well, here we are into the finals now after winning the Eastern Conference. What have you seen from that end of the season in mid-April to now that, you know, you think that's really has gotten the Cavs to where they are positioning themselves to win an NBA title?
Well, I think two things. Three, because we're gonna put LeBron out there for sure. I mean, you have LeBron, you have a chance. That's pretty obvious. You didn't need to have me on here to tell you that. Defense, number one, they've been the best defensive team in the league in the postseason. They got guys committed all over the court, making teams work extremely hard for anything they get. But I think beyond that, it's just the team's overall approach to the game. Regardless of what has happened, and a lot has happened with losing Kevin Love for the season, with Kyrie being less than 100%, with JR being suspended for two games, despite all those things, they just continue to play on and fight through. They like to say that they're a no excuse team, and they've shown that. Regardless, they've just gone out, played the game. Expectations haven't changed. They like to say next man up, and it's corny, but they kind of live that in the playoffs, and I think they deserve a ton of credit for what they've overcome and the way they've been played to get to this point.
Rick, why do you think the defense is so much better now than it was earlier in the season?
Well, I mean, it started to improve the moment they acquired Timofey Mozgov from Denver. In early January, that was a big thing right there. And Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith also helped a great deal in that area. I think, you know, it's a commitment. They always talked a good game. They talked a good game the 4 years they didn't make the playoffs when they couldn't beat anybody. But it never translated to the floor. Now guys are given the effort. And they're giving it consistently, virtually every time down the floor. And I think approach sometimes, particularly when you're playing at this high of a level, just the approach and the mindset, they go a long way.
After one season, and maybe it ties into this too, what's your opinion of David Blatt as head coach?
Well, I think he's gotten better. I think he dodged a gigantic bullet in game four of the Chicago series. Had he been granted that timeout that they didn't have when the game was tied, or had he not had LeBron catch the ball instead of inbounding the ball like he originally wanted before LeBron scratched the play, the Cavs would have lost that game more than likely had that timeout been granted, and they would have been down 3-1 in that series. Their season could have ended right then and there, and we wouldn't be talking about any of that. But, you know, he admitted that gaffe, made a little bit of a gaffe following that, too, by comparing being an NBA coach to being a fighter pilot, I thought. But he's improved. His players, particularly LeBron and Kyrie, are firmly behind him. Gave him rave reviews the other day at practice. I think he's gotten more confident. I think his substitution pattern has improved, in part because Kevin Love's injury and Kyrie's injury have really taken away many options. He's been forced to stick with, you know, seven players for the most part. But I think he just is more comfortable now than he was at the beginning of the season. I give him credit, particularly for the approach the team has. Basketball is not exactly rocket science on the floor. You need players to win, regardless of what the coach does. But he's had them ready mentally, and he refused to allow them to make any excuses. So I think you got to credit him for that.
Talking with Rick Nolan of the Medina Gazette and Chronicle Telegram, following the Cavaliers all season. For those of us who haven't been following Golden State too much, everything happening in the western part of the conference, give us a little kind of scouting on them, and how is the matchup going to be between the two teams? I guess that's a key, really.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people in these parts are under the big mistaken notion that Golden State is a soft team, that they're a finesse team, and that stems from the fact that they are just so absolutely beautiful to watch from an offensive standpoint. They spread the floor, they move the ball, and they shoot the three-pointer better than anybody in the league. And that tends to cause people to think that they don't play a lot of defense or that they're not very tough. And that's not true. They don't have a ton of physically imposing players, and they have no players that, you know, you would call a thug or an enforcer or something of that nature. But they were the best team in the league at the defensive end in the regular season, and they don't get nearly enough credit for that because of how well guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson play at the offensive end. So I think you're going to see a tremendously exciting series. It's going to have ebb and flow and peaks and valleys, but you know, I don't think it's going to be over anytime soon.
Every series that we were in as the Cavaliers, there's always a moment where there's a little bit of, what is the word I want to use for, a brouhaha, some sort of, you know, extra effort or, you know, dirty, quote, something like that. Do you anticipate our defense to have that same effect because it kind of gets some mind games going on with the other team?
I don't think so. But I wouldn't be shocked if it happens. I mean, it is the NBA Finals, and every player from both teams is going to leave everything they have on the floor. If it does happen, it wouldn't shock me that if a guy like Matthew Dellavedova is in the middle of it, and that's not a knock on Delly. He just plays so hard that sometimes he gets under a guy's skin, particularly when that guy or that guy's team is struggling. So these are two pretty competitive, hard-nosed teams, but they are not the kinds of teams that initiate fisticuffs or brouhahas or even try to play in a way that, you know, annoys the opponent. So I think you'll see two teams playing unbelievably hard, but I think you're going to see a pretty clean and entertaining brand of basketball.
And along those lines, I've heard conversations people have said that it looks like the playoffs are officiated differently than the regular season. Rick, does the NBA league office send down something to the officials to say, call it this way or call it that way?
You know, if they do, I've never heard that. I think what happens, number one, is you see two teams that get so familiar with one another that the defensive players almost ended up being in the spot because they know the play as well as the offensive player. I don't disagree, though. The game is called quite a bit different than it is in the regular season. There is a lot more contact involved, a lot more bumping, pushing. It sometimes you know, takes away some of the flow of the game, but I kind of like it. I like to see how guys handle that mentally and physically when they're getting a ton of contact and calls that they were getting all season aren't there, and they have to find another way. So I don't have a huge problem with it, as long as it's called consistently throughout the game.
Yeah, and they have to remember to stay in the game and not waste their time talking to an official as the ball is moving down the court and they're not getting the call, and all of a sudden, you know, their guy is not there and they're basically complaining about the past and they got to worry about what's coming up next. What kind of health status do we have on the latest for the Cavaliers? What can you tell us?
Well, I mean, obviously Kevin Love is out, Anderson Varejao is out, and Kyrie's going to play, and we really won't know how Kyrie's going to play until he gets on the floor tonight. They had an eight-day layoff between the Boston and Chicago series when Kyrie first got hurt, although it was mostly the foot issue he was dealing with then. And he came out in game one against Chicago and scored 30 points and looked fantastic. It was when the knee issue cropped up that he started struggling. I have no doubt he's going to play, and I have no doubt he's going to give him everything he has. I just don't know if he's going to have all the explosive ability he had during the regular season. This is a series where he's going to have to be able to guard someone. If he's limited defensively, he's going to have a really hard time and probably a really short stint trying to defend Steph Curry. I don't really know that they'll have him defend Klay Thompson either, because he can just shoot over the top of him. I wouldn't be totally shocked if they end up putting him on Harrison Barnes, who is even taller, but who isn't quite the shooter or the offensive focal point as the two guards. So there could be some interesting cross matchups from both teams going on in this series, where you might be guarding one person at the defensive end, but somebody entirely different could be guarding you at the offensive end. So we'll see how all that plays out around 9 o'clock tonight.
It starts tonight. Have you kind of come up with how you think this is going to play out over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, I agonized over this one. At the beginning of the season, I picked the Cavaliers to win a championship by beating the Clippers in the finals. And at the beginning of the postseason, I picked the Cavaliers to win it all by beating the Warriors in the finals. That makes me look pretty good right now, but I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to pick those two teams. Right. But, you know, when I picked them to win it all, prior to the start of the playoffs, they had a healthy Kevin Love, and they had a 100% Kyrie Irving. So, you know, looking at this series, you know, I've lived in Northeast Ohio my entire life. I know the 51-year drought. I know how much the fans are starved for a winner here. But when I made my prediction, I tried to be as objective as possible and put myself in some random part of the country like, you know, Wisconsin or Minnesota or Iowa and just ask myself, if you lived there and you had no ties to either team and you analyzed the talent on the floor, who would you pick to win the series? And when I did it that way, I kept coming back to the fact that the Cavs don't know what they're going to get from Kyrie Irving. They don't have Kevin Love. And the Warriors are a very, very good, deep, and talented team that can beat you in a lot of different ways. I think the Cavs will win one of these first two games at Oakland. I think the Warriors will win one of the first two games in Cleveland. Then I think Golden State will go back home and win. They go up 3-2. And then I just have this feeling that they'll come back and steal one at the Q in game six. So I'm picking the Warriors in six, but I will tell the fans here that my prediction history over the 32-year career has not always been that great, so don't get all upset about that. Me picking the Warriors could be the best thing that's ever happened for Cavs fans.
Well, it's still to be written. We shall see how things play out. The NBA Finals start tonight, and you can read all about the coverage of Rick Nolan and the Medina Gazette and the Chronicle Telegram. And today in the CT, there's the NBA Finals pullout section with all sorts of great information. Rick, thanks for your time this morning, and enjoy the series with the rest of us.
All right. Thank you.